Today's scripture lessons come from the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Jesus is teaching the people about God's provision and our anxieties. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. Will he not much more clothe you, you little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans are after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In Luke 18, an interaction between a rich young man and Jesus. A certain ruler asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I've kept since I was a boy," he said. Then Jesus heard this. He said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Are you an adventurer? Do you have that DNA that you just want to go out and just find a good adventure to do something extraordinary? Does your pulse quicken a little bit when you think about exploring or hiking or rock climbing or caving? I don't see too many cavers jumping around here this morning, but you may say, "No, not me. Give me a warm fireplace and a good book and I'm all set." But I suggest to you that even if that is your picture of a perfect evening, there beats somewhere deep inside you the heart of an adventurer. Over the past several weeks, many of us have visited places in our houses we haven't been to in a year. Attics, basements, closets, looking for those things we need to decorate our houses for the holidays. We found most of what we wanted and a lot of things we didn't remember we had, and we accomplished it. And then when it was all over, we did it again to put it all back. Does that ring a bell for you? Can you relate to that? It's almost like an expedition. In fact, there are some times in my life when I've had places like that in my home, I've wanted to tie a rope to my waist and to the door to make sure nothing would happen to keep me from finding my way out. Even the neatest, most organized among us has some little space where there are things that you don't want to get rid of, throw away, that you can't quite categorize, sort into some meaningful system. And so we have these little spots. Let me ask you, does anybody here besides the McKinney family have at least one junk drawer in your house? It's okay, you're among friends. You can acknowledge that. Or two, or three, or a closet, or we have all these things that we just know we're going to want to keep for all kinds of reasons. But we can't quite sort them, and so we let them gather in a certain spot And if we aren't careful, they become clutter in our lives. That's what I want to talk about, is the clutter in our lives. All the things we buy for a reason or receive as gifts that have enjoyed their moments in the sun in our lives and then at some point have been relegated to a storage area, a closet or a basement or an attic or a drawer. We keep to know where we'll have it, where we'll find it. We want those things. We know we'll need them again sometime. And so we find that out for sure as soon as we get rid of it, because usually a week later. Why is that we do that? I've got a hunch I know why, because I've seen it again. And so I remember that would be useful for this task. It's like when you buy a blue car, every third car on the highway is a blue car. You're looking for what you have in your thought process. Or you can't find what you know you have and you need it, so you go out and buy its duplicate. In my house, that's the best way I can do that. That's the best I can find what I'm missing. I buy its twin, and then they both show up together. For many of us, as we enter the new year, we determine that this year, this is the year we're going to do it differently. We're going to go through all that stuff and clear out the clutter, toss it out, or at least sort it and label it so we'll know where it is later when we need it. But too often we never quite get to it, or we never quite get through it. Today we're beginning a four-part series called Simply. Be looking to explore the things we gather around us in our lives that have the tendency to gather and grow and clutter up our lives. To explore ways to clean out the clutter and to simplify our lives in order to make room for that which is truly life-giving. To make room for what really matters. So let's dig in for just a few minutes here this morning. To start us off, how does clutter affect our lives? Well, clutter distracts us. I've known people who decided they're going to clean their home and they want to start with their own closet, which is always a mistake. Because they go into their own closet and they find things that they have attachments to. Go into a good-sized closet and you'll find an old photo album or yearbook. And you sit down and you begin to reminisce. Did I look like that? Well, wasn't he dreamy? Or she? And by the time you're done, the time's gotten away. Or you look at a piece of clothing that you remember why you bought that or what occasion was or who it was and how special it was. My wife can tell you of all the baby pictures and all of our kids, she can tell you who bought us that dress or that outfit for the kids and what the occasion was. Not for herself, but for the kids. She remembers those things. As she sees those things, she begins to reminisce about that. They begin by cleaning out the closet, but unfortunately, as you go through those things, you go down memory lane. By the time you realize it's time to quit, you just simply have to restack or rehang what's there. Clutter distracts us. Or, for those of you who are not so sentimental, check your computer on any given day and see how many programs and files and browser tabs you have open at the same time. Getting distracted by all the things that we're looking at least at the same time, working about different things along the way. Clutter weighs us down and slows us down. Whether it's physical clutter we have to wade through, and there are times we've had to wade through some of us and pick up and stack out of the way to get to the next thing. Or it's unmanageable schedules or to-do lists or numbers of friends to try to keep and manage. In his book, How Many Friends Does One Person Need? British anthropologist and biologist Robin Dunbar tells us that there is a cognitive limit because of the size of the neocortex in the brain. We can only hold within our lives 150 people in relationships that are reciprocal and actual living friendships, personalized. Now, this research is supported by such outlets as even Facebook itself. Facebook, which is the ultimate friend source, in its official figure says the average user of Facebook has 130 friends. How many Facebook friends do you have? Do you even know? I checked this week. I have 480. What's wrong with me? It's more than three times the average. And I'm sure I'm a good friend to all of them. Clutter also makes us anxious. It causes us to worry. There's too many things to think about and manage. Wakes us up in the night, makes us anxious people. Too much to think about, can't even look forward what we're doing in our lives. Clutter threatens to smother us in the miscellany of our lives. There was a fifth grade teacher who assigned her class an essay. They had to write two pages on the leading cause of death in the U.S. the year prior. Last year they had records for. And so the kids did their research, as much as a fifth grade student would do research. And most of them focused on, you know, heart disease related and cancer and smoking and other lung issues. And they gave the percentages. This is the leading cause of death, and this is the next, this is the next. And to talk about that disease and how it is so difficult for us to deal with. There was one student, though, who did all the same research, but when he wrote it down, he said the leading cause of death was something he'd never even heard of before. It was something called miscellaneous. Because what they'd done, they'd taken these, like, top 10 and listed them separately, and beyond that, all the remaining causes of death were lumped in one junk drawer called miscellaneous. He said, that kills a whole lot more people than any of the others up there. Well, this teacher chuckled and tried to explain to him that he misunderstood. But I wonder, is he totally wrong? Does the miscellany in our lives threaten to smother us? How do we juggle all the things? Some are things, some are responsibilities, some are hopes, some are fears, some are people in our lives. Clutter causes us confusion and fatigue. There are days when I walk in the house and I walk past the kitchen table, which is stacked upon the table, stacks of mail and things that I've brought in to take care of as I come home. They're usually neatly stacked, not always so neatly, but they're there on the table. And I look at them and I say, there's no problem, I'll deal with it later. There are other days I'll come in and the same stacks of all these things between, you know, opportunity mail. I learned a long time ago by a postmaster in a small town is not junk mail. It is opportunity mail because you have an opportunity to make a choice. And then, of course, bills and chosen reading materials and Christmas cards and gifts to look at and open. I guess you open first, then you look at them. I come in those other days and I see all that and I just about begin to shake and I want to just take my arm and just rake it all off into a big trash can and be done with it. It is a very quick and efficient way to do that. It's not very pleasing to my creditors or to my wife, but there are days. Clutter causes us fatigue. With that. So clutter causes so many difficulties in our lives. Why is it that we seem to be people who are bent on cluttering up our lives? There may be as many reasons as there are clutterers, I don't know. But here are a few. And then cluttering is an issue of the appetite. We, you see, we are, to one degree or another, all appetite-driven. We want what we see, and there's an entire industry that has been developed and thrives upon showing us what it is we should want, at least in their mind. Cars, as they advertise them to us, we know will make us successful, sexy, and desirable. I've tried that. I don't get the sexy part. My wife likes me. Chiseled abs and healthy, glowing bodies glistening with sweat will make us viral. Well, it's the season. Viral are beautiful. Prescription medications will improve our lives in every area of our lives. And they promise us a beautiful home on the beachfront with an endless ocean view, or two outside bathtubs up in the mountains overlooking a majestic valley, and always with a golden retriever. And don't forget beverages. They promise all kinds of things. Coke promises authenticity. Coke is the real thing. Beer promises relaxation and relationship. There was an old advertisement, when it's time to relax, one beer stands clear. And what's the name?
Miller.
It tastes too good to hurry through. But if you've got the time, we got the beer. Always with a bunch of people laughing and smiling, enjoying the finer things. It was the champagne of beers. I've seen pictures. Then, of course, you can't forget coffee. It always makes everything better because Folgers is good to the last drop. Now, the funny thing is, for all these things that I've mentioned in the advertising, they aren't pushing the product, they're pushing the appetite. What these products will deliver for us and the needs that we think they will meet in our lives. Our cluttering is appetite driven. Our cluttering comes out of our own insecurities at times. If only I had this, I'd be set. We try get rich quick schemes. You've all known folks who have signed up for one of those, and you buy the whole inventory, and then you begin to advertise among your circles as warm markets. And your friends and your family will buy a few things to support you, to encourage you. And for 97% of the people that do that, those inventories find themselves in the attic or the basement gathering dust. Now, 3% of those folks will actually make some money on it. We try to get rich quick because of our insecurities. We clutter out of our pride, a pride of ownership. That was what was going on with the young man in the Gospel of Luke this morning, the rich young man who came to Jesus. He had all the things, but he wanted something that had meaning. When he came to Jesus, he sought that out. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know the commandments. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other. Do this for your parents. I've kept all those commandments since I was a child. Then one thing you still lack, go and sell all you have. Give it to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven. Then you'll be free to follow me. Now understand, this is not an indictment against wealth. It's an indictment against the man who found his identity in the things that he had. Because he turns around and walks away because he was very rich, it says. He turns around and walks away because there was too much risk for him to let go of the things that had defined him, to take that risk of finding himself defined in a new way. How about us? Jesus is saying that we have to get rid of the clutter. And when we do, we'll be free to follow without dragging it all around with us. We clutter to quiet the insecurities and worry. This comes from the other scripture from this morning, Matthew scripture, about the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. Based very loosely, or there's a song based very loosely on that, so don't worry, be happy. You know, we worry about everything. I tell you not to worry about your life, what you eat, drink, what you put on, because life is more than food and drink and what you have to wear. God takes care of even the birds of the air. They have enough. Even the wildflowers, the field grass, in their wonderful display, Solomon isn't as beautiful as these are, and yet they grow today and they're burned away tomorrow. And doesn't God love you so much more than they? So don't worry saying, what should we eat or drink? Or what should we wear? But seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So let me ask you, do we live our lives as though we understand that truth? So, how do we deal with our clutter? We have to do the hard work of decluttering, which begins here for most of us. I mean, sometimes we just know we've gathered and kept and haven't bothered to throw away, and so we can go in with the old coal shovel. I love the old coal shovel. When I was a kid, my dad had one that was his dad's before that, and he kept it. Hadn't seen coal in a lot of years, but he kept it. It was a whole lot better than a snow shovel. But he'd come in once in a while, and he would remind all of us it was time to clean your rooms, and if you didn't, he would. It was symbolic. We thought it was. I never did wait to see. But in our minds, we battle over letting go. And that's where we begin that fight. But as we open our minds to releasing those things, there are all kinds of areas in our lives that we can begin to reclutter. Let's just start literally in our homes for just a moment. I'm no guru about this, but I've done a little bit of reading so I can be sure I don't embarrass myself with it. Have you ever tried the art of Zen cleaning? Zen cleaning is where you're told to take every single item you own, hold it or touch it if it's too big to hold individually, and when you're holding it, if it doesn't bring you joy, throw it away. You've seen all the jokes, you know, so far I've thrown away my electric bill and everything else, but if it doesn't bring you joy, thank that item for its service to you in your life and throw it away. Or you could try the gentle art of Swedish death cleaning. There's a wonderful image. But they have a practice in Sweden that as they reach a certain point in life, they begin to think about not wanting to leave everything to their kids. We've had those conversations in our lives too. All the mess. And so they begin by looking at all their things and they give away the nice things as gifts. They throw away other things. And they require, when somebody visits you at your home, you require them to take something home with them as they go. They said, you do this, then you repeat, and you repeat, and you repeat until you die. Or something maybe more experimental that might connect with us in a more comfortable way is the reverse hanger experiment. You've heard of that, haven't you? Seriously. It's where you take all your clothes that are hanging in the closet and you turn it all around where the hangers are backwards. And as you wear an item of clothing and you put it back in the closet, put the hanger back correctly, and at the end of a year's time, whatever you haven't moved a hanger with, throw it away. You've not worn it in a year. That's simple. And scary for some people. But it's a way of decluttering in our homes. There's so many other places we have to declutter too, though. Areas of our lives, like our relationships. 480 Facebook friends, come on. I can't name 480 people anymore by name. I look at a picture and say, yeah, I know that person, and I like that person. And if that person's from my family, if I forget names. Decluttering in our finances. Do I really need 80 more channels, mostly home shopping networks and infomercials? That's what most of those are. You get 260 channels. 80 more? 80 of them are total garbage. And 80 more of them are mostly garbage. And you end up watching 20. But I want to have my choices. We can declutter our finances. We can declutter our schedules, our work styles. I have come to believe that I could quit doing 25% of my administrative work that I choose to do the way I do it, and nobody would know the difference, and it wouldn't hinder my work at all, but it's the way I've done it all the time. We can declutter every area of our lives. But the more important question to end with is, why should we? Why do the hard work of decluttering? Well, very simply, because decluttering sets us free. Sets us free from disappointment of unfulfilled expectations. Sets us free from gathering all this up and keeping it. And if you ever move from one home to the next, pack it in a box, and then unpacking it and packing it in a box. And some of us have moved often enough, we have boxes in our garages we haven't unpacked for the last two moves. But I need it. Set us free. Free to reclaim room in our lives. I don't mean room in our homes, although we get that too, but room in our lives for what really fills us up, what really matters. Well, the next several weeks, we'll be spending that time in this time each day and each Sunday in worship in more depth, looking at the bane that clutter is in our lives and the renewing freedom we experience in letting go of those things that we've held on to. As we learn to simplify our lives with one priority in mind, that's to seek first God's kingdom in our lives. We find that doing that, all the needs we have and trying to fill to our clutter will be added to us as well. Amen.